It's Friday, February 13th. Ooh. I'm Jane Costin, and this is What A Day, the show reminding you that Valentine's Day is tomorrow. I repeat, Valentine's Day is tomorrow. There's still time to get chocolates. On today's show, President Donald Trump is once again facing off with former President Joe Biden in the polls. Spoiler, America's missing its ex. And after a long 2 months, the immigration crackdown in Minnesota is finally ending. But let's start with Congress. Capitol Hill was surprisingly busy this week. Republicans and Democrats yelled at one another. Republicans yelled at other Republicans. And amazingly, some actual business got done. Sort of. But as of our recording, it looks like it wasn't enough to avoid a partial government shutdown. On Thursday, Senate Democrats blocked a bill that would have funded the Department of Homeland Security without reining in federal immigration enforcement. It included no end to immigration and customs enforcement agents hiding their faces, no requirements that they show ID, and no end to racial profiling, which are just a few of Democrats' demands before agreeing to fund DHS. But Senate Democrats aren't ready to back down anytime soon. What A Day newsletter writer Matt Berg spoke to Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer on Wednesday.
This debate is killing Trump. 90% of Americans have seen the videos that show the brutal slayings of so many and have shown how they don't obey the law. They'll just knock in someone's door without a warrant. They'll say, we're arresting you. We're not telling you why. And they put you in a dark cage with no ability to have a phone, have a lawyer, etc. And so overwhelmingly, Americans are on our side.
Americans are also siding with Democrats against President Trump's tariffs, according to polling Pew Research Center released last week. We mentioned yesterday that the House voted to rescind President Trump's tariffs on Canada Wednesday, an important sign that maybe, just maybe, Congress doesn't love tariffs either. So for more on a wild week in Congress, I spoke to Burgess Everett. He's a congressional bureau chief for Semaphore. Burgess, welcome to What A Day.
Hey, Jane. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with the Department of Homeland Security. On Thursday, Senate Democrats blocked a spending bill that would have funded the agency with no changes to immigration enforcement. And if Congress doesn't make a deal to fund DHS by Saturday, a swath of the agency will shut down. What do we know right now?
The shutdown's happening. The Senate is gone. These members are scattered all over, not just the country, but the earth right now. A bunch of them went to Munich. So the majority leader, John Thune, says he'll call people back when there's a deal, but they're not really close to a deal at this point. And so we're heading into our third shutdown of this Congress. It's as dysfunctional as the institution can be. And if you want to kind of zoom out about how little effort there is being put to solve this problem, they left at Thursday at 4:15 before a shutdown 36 hours later. So I can't recall ever seeing that in my time covering Capitol Hill.
Okay, the Senate basically dipped. Like, why is so little effort being made to make a deal?
I mean, they're so far apart, and part of it is Democrats, honestly, Jane, they think they have the high ground here politically, and that usually translates to the policy debate here as well. I mean, you see the polls. Americans think ICE has generally overreached. I know Republicans back Trump, but a lot of independent voters and certainly Democratic voters who our Democratic leaders are responding to here in Congress, they're reacting to that. And so they're really far apart. I mean, when you have the Democrats not even willing to entertain a 2-week funding extension for a critical, I would say, government agency, that gives you a sense of not only how far apart they are, but how kind of uncompromising Democrats are right now. They just feel like the wind is at their backs on this issue.
I wanted to ask you, I don't think I've ever seen a partial government shutdown before where it's just like one agency. And technically, I believe that 90% of the people who work for DHS across all of the departments are still going to have to come to work, even though only a small percentage are going to be paid. So has that ever happened before?
So the 2018-2019 border shutdown, which now we have to be very specific about which shutdowns we're talking about because there have been so many. The one over the Trump's border wall was a partial shutdown, but a larger swath of the government. So that was not a full government shutdown like the one in the fall was. And you're correct. A bunch of these folks are going to have to come to work without pay. People, TSA, Coast Guard, FEMA, places like that. Now, I don't have a full answer on this yet, but I do know the Trump administration has $75 billion plus to fund ICE CBP operations across the country from the big, beautiful bill last year. Now, I saw how creative the Trump administration was at paying Defense Department officials and folks like that during the last shutdown. So I do kind of wonder, do they dip into that money to pay some of these other government workers?
So what's next? Like, it doesn't seem like anyone's moving on this. A lot of people are out of the country. Are we at least in a week-long partial shutdown?
That's what it looks like to me. The Senate's not supposed to come back until February 23rd. Now, I have two small silver linings moving forward. One of those is Democrats. Patty Murray, the top Democrat on the Appropriations Committee, just told me a few minutes ago that they're preparing an offer, counteroffer to the Republicans this weekend. So still talking, right? The other silver lining is no one's talking about the substance of these offers. I know that's a weird thing to say. Why is that a silver lining? Usually that's a sign that negotiations have gone completely south. When somebody leaks an offer, they publish it, and it just shows that things have fallen apart, right? And so those two things kind of make me think, hey, there's still some positive momentum here.
On Wednesday, the House voted to end Trump's tariffs on Canada, with six Republicans alongside most Democrats voting to do so. Most of those Republicans are probably not even running again. And it's worth noting that this is more symbolic because Trump obviously is going to not sign that. But in general, we're starting to hear more discomfort from Republicans about Trump's tariffs, specifically from members in battleground states. What are you hearing?
Yeah, I mean, the Senate was actually ahead of the House on this because the House had used this. I won't get too deep into it, but they'd used their own rules to shield their members from these votes.
Yes, we actually are going to get to because this is a show where we do get deep, but please continue.
And so this will come back to the Senate. The Senate will almost certainly pass it, and it'll go to Trump's desk where he'll veto it. I do think the number of Republicans willing to vote against the president on this is not equal to the number of Republicans who are uneasy with the tariffs. You know, if this was some secret ballot vote, you'd see way more Republicans breaking with the president. The policy, though, isn't always what motivates their votes. The president has shown that he is so upset when Republicans oppose him. You know, you go back a few weeks to this Venezuela resolution in the Senate where he says they should all be primaried for voting against me, and two of them flip. This week on the House tariff vote, he says, I'm going to primary anyone who votes against me, and only six of them vote for it. And I think, you know, 20, 30 might have been considering it. It goes to show how personal he takes these votes and the politics of them.
You mentioned this a little bit, and I did want to get to it because over the past year, Speaker Mike Johnson had basically barred any discussion of getting rid of Trump's tariffs. But Tuesday night, there was kind of a Republican rebellion. And now that bar is over, which could lead to more anti-tariff votes. Can you tell me a little bit more about what comes next on that front?
The things that the Senate has passed, I think, would translate probably to the House, because, again, you're only going to have a handful of Republicans willing to break with the president. And the only reason that rule ended in the House was because of these retiring Republicans and Thomas Massie, who fears nothing from Trump at this point because they're in a blood war in their primary. I mean, Democrats can launch these votes now with some impunity, and so I think you'll probably see it on Mexico. Brazil has been another one. You probably would see it on European countries and things like that, all of our allies. At some point, they will lose their political salience. The more of them pile up, the more Trump vetoes them. However, when Trump vetoes them, that means they have to vote on them again. So these loyalty tests are only going to become more frequent and give Republicans more opportunities to break with the president.
Also on Wednesday, the House passed the SAVE Act, which is actually just an updated version of legislation that the House passed last year. What's changed since then, and what does the SAVE Act do?
Save America Act, actually.
Yes.
The Save Act turned into the Save America Act. Basically, what happened was they fused the ideas of needing photo ID to vote and also needing proof of citizenship. So, yeah, those passed the House.
And just to clarify, what would the Save America Act change if it was signed into law? Because I know that, as far as I can tell, it would mean that you would need a passport to vote, which, if I'm a Democrat, I'm thinking, that's actually kind of awesome, based on if you look at the numbers as to which Americans have passports.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the particulars of every state, but it would create that federal standardization to that. And I have heard some Republicans say, well, the coalitions have been so scrambled at this point that it may not actually hurt Democrats. But I've heard no budge from Democrats. Only one House Democrat, Henry Cuellar, voted for it. So it also feels there's a little bit of a shirts and skins exercise to it at this point. And there's a lot of sort of false hope, I would say, being built across conservative circles that this could somehow pass the Senate.
Yeah, that was actually my next question, because it seems really clear that it's not going to pass the Senate. You've already seen Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski from Alaska announce her opposition. So one, why is this false hope building? Is that just kind of a Trump thing? And two, why is it not going to pass the Senate?
Okay, I mean, Trump wants to kill the legislative filibuster. So that's the primary hurdle to a piece of legislation like this, which is that you have all the Republicans to vote for it, you still don't have 60 Democrats can block it. So just to begin with, Trump wants to get rid of that. Now, there's other Republicans like Mike Lee who want to kind of find a way around the 60 vote threshold. It's unworkable, at least in the eyes of Republican leaders, because it would open up all these other avenues to majority votes, where if you have the Save America Act, it also has Obamacare subsidies attached to it, and also repudiation of Trump's tariffs. So nobody's actually entertaining doing it in the Republican leadership right now.
This was, compared to last year, a very eventful week in Congress. Lots of people yelling at each other. Lots happening.
We didn't even get to the indictment, the attempted indictment.
I know. An attempted indictment of six members of Congress, which was based on a statute that I had to look up. What do you think we can expect from the rest of the year? What can we be looking forward to or fearing?
Boy, I mean, it's so hard to predict. I do think one thing I'm pretty confident is this is not the typical run the ball for 3 yards midterm year. Like, I'm not preparing for, like, nothing happening and them to just kneel the ball down and go to the midterms. It just doesn't feel like that kind of year. It kind of did a few weeks ago, but then the Venezuela operation happened, and ever since, it seems like it's been total chaos. We have a Federal Reserve fight right now in the Senate whether to replace the chairman is going to happen later this year. So there's going to be a lot of interesting stuff happening just in Congress, and then there's the X factor of what the president's doing and how does Congress respond to it. I mean, just that indictment piece that we talked about, Senator Kaine told me that was like the main thing Democrats were talking about this week when they should have been talking about the Department of Homeland Security. Like, they are having to react to these things in real time, and it's affecting decisions for the entire government. So strap yourself in. I just think it's going to be a crazy year.
Burgess, as always, thank you for joining me.
Thanks, Jane.
That was my conversation with Burgess Everett, Congressional Bureau Chief at Semaphore. More news for you. But first, remember to subscribe, leave a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, watch us on YouTube, and in the spirit of Valentine's Day, please set us up with your friends. There are a lot of lonely Americans just looking for somebody they can fight fascism with, and we think we'd be a great fit. Let us know. More to come after some ads. What a Day is brought to you by Quince. Quince is all about elevated essentials that feel effortless. Designed for layering and mixing, each piece helps build a timeless wardrobe made to last. With versatile silhouettes and thoughtful details, they're the kind of styles you wear again and again. They've got the wardrobe staples with quality that's made to last. 100% organic cotton sweaters, premium denim made with stretch for all-day comfort, luxe cotton cashmere blends perfect for the changing seasons. Everything you need for a wardrobe that actually lasts. And Quince works directly with safe, ethical factories, and cuts out the middlemen, so you're not paying for brand markup. Just high-quality clothing. Right now, I'm wearing one of my favorite Quince pieces, a cashmere sweater I've worn dozens of times and will probably wear hundreds of times. Refresh your wardrobe with Quince. Go to quince.com/wad for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/wad to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/wad. What a Day is brought to you by Aura Frames. Aura Frames is the answer to every gifting moment. Your sister, your mom, handled. Every person I've given an Aura Frame to has absolutely loved it. With Aura Frames, you can add as many photos and videos as you want, and you can preload photos before it ships. And you can keep adding from anywhere, anytime. Every frame comes packaged in a premium gift box with no price tag. Aura Frames, the perfect gift every time. Named number one by Wirecutter, you can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com. For a limited time, listeners can get $35 off their best-selling cover mat frame with code WAD. That's AuraFrames.com, promo code WAD. Support the show by mentioning us at checkout. Terms and conditions apply.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Father, or should I call you Steve? Since it's a new year, maybe we should start cooking fresh with fewer smoke alarms this time. Your cooking's improving, but I can see the stress in your eyes. Anna's mom used this Blue Apron Assemble and Bake thing during our playdate. Pre-chopped ingredients, over 40 grams of protein, and just one pan to clean up. She just tossed it in the oven and boom, plating like she's got followers. So go to blueapron.com, Steve. Make 2026 the year you win dinner. Blue Apron. Get 50% off your first two orders, plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Here's what else we're following today.
Headlines.
I have proposed, and President Trump has concurred, that this surge operation conclude. A significant drawdown has already been underway this week and will continue through the next week.
Border czar Tom Homan announced Thursday that the two-month-long surge of federal immigration enforcement into Minneapolis has ended. The decision comes after more than 3,000 federal immigration agents were sent to Minnesota as part of what Minnesota Democratic Governor Tim Walz called, quote, an unprecedented federal invasion in all aspects of life. Homan argued that the surge had left the state, quote, safer, and thanked state officials for their assistance. But Minneapolis Democratic Mayor Jacob Frey emphasized the trauma the surge had caused in the city, writing on Twitter, quote, this operation has been catastrophic for our neighbors and businesses, and now it's time for a great comeback. In January, immigration officers in Minneapolis killed two American citizens, Alex Preddy and Renee Good. While Homan was in Minnesota Thursday, the leaders of three federal immigration enforcement agencies were back on the Hill, this time answering questions from the Senate Homeland Security Committee. Questions from Kentucky Republican Senator Rand Paul like, can you be mean to federal immigration officials?
With Alexander Preddy, he's filming in the middle of the street. We see two women that are, as you watch the video, jawboning, complaining, protesting, yelling, maybe not being nice, but they're protesting. Well, let's keep the videos stopped. And so my question to Mr. Scott first is yelling at ICE officers or Border Patrol, is that a form of domestic assault on the officers?
No, sir.
Mr. Lyons?
No, sir, it's not.
Great. Glad we got that cleared up after two people were killed and dozens of protesters arrested. A federal judge agreed to block the Pentagon from punishing Arizona Democratic Senator Mark Kelly for participating in a video that called on troops to resist unlawful orders. The judge said the Pentagon, quote, trampled on Kelly's rights after threatening to take away his retirement rank and pay. Kelly, a former Navy pilot, spoke out after the ruling in a video posted on Twitter.
Today, a federal court made clear that Pete Hegseth violated the Constitution when he tried to punish me for something I said. But this case was never just about me. This administration was sending a message to millions of retired veterans that they too can be censured or demoted just for speaking out.
Kelly had sued in federal court to block his January 5th censure from Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth. The judge's order prohibits the Pentagon from implementing or enforcing Kelly's punishment while his lawsuit is pending. Hegseth said in a post on Twitter, quote, this will be immediately appealed, because it's not like he has other things to do.
Do you see Nicolas Maduro as the legitimate leader of Venezuela?
Sí, sin duda alguna. Es el presidente legítimo de Venezuela.
So, yes, I can tell you that President Nicolás Maduro is the legitimate president. I will tell you this as a lawyer that I am. They are both, President Maduro and Celia Flores, the First Lady, are both innocent.
Well, well, well. So much for regime change, am I right? Venezuela's acting president, Delcy Rodriguez, spoke with NBC News' Meet the Press moderator, Christian Welker, for an exclusive interview in Caracas. Rodriguez became Venezuela's top leader after the U.S., you know, captured Nicolas Maduro last month in the middle of the night from his compound and brought him to the U.S. to face drug and weapons charges. But Rodriguez still appears to be playing the Trump administration's game. She met with U.S. Energy Secretary Chris Wright on Wednesday. Wright was in Venezuela for a firsthand assessment of the country's oil industry. The visit further asserts the U.S. government's self-appointed role in turning around Venezuela's dilapidated energy sector, because, obviously, all of this is about oil. Right? Rodriguez told NBC News she's been invited to the White House and expects to visit at some point. Sometimes you don't really know what you've got till it's gone, or until it's left the White House. Axios has taken a look at several national surveys with the, quote, same alarming trend. According to some recent polls, voters now think former President Joe Biden was better overall than Trump. And on top of that, an NBC poll found that, quote, 49% of adults strongly disapprove of how Trump has handled border security and immigration. That's about a 10% increase from last summer. In other words, Trump has frittered away his political capital on the key issues that got him elected. And that's the news. Before we go, if you're looking for a smart, unfiltered take on this week's news, Hysteria has you covered. In the latest episode, Aaron Ryan reacts to the Bondi testimony, digs into the newest twists in the Epstein files, and breaks down why the right wing keeps picking culture war fights and keeps losing them. It's sharp, it's cathartic, and it's exactly the kind of context you need right now. New episodes of Hysteria drop every Thursday. Listen wherever you get your podcasts or watch on YouTube. That's all for today. If you like the show, make sure you subscribe, leave a review, join us in hoping for the absolute best for the Guthrie family, and tell your friends to listen. And if you're into reading, and not just about how, like many of you, we're thinking about Savannah Guthrie and her family after the kidnapping of her mother more than a week ago, like me, What A Day is also a nightly newsletter. Check it out and subscribe at crooked.com/subscribe. I'm Jane Costin, and I am praying for Nancy Guthrie, Savannah, and a good outcome from this whole tragedy. What A Day is a production of Crooked Media. It's recorded and mixed by Desmond Taylor. Our associate producer is Emily Four. Our producer is Caitlin Plummer. Our video editor is Joseph Dutra. Our video producer is Johanna Case. We had production help today from Greg Walters and Matt Berg. Our senior producer is Erica Morrison. And our senior vice president of news and politics is Adrian Hill. Our theme music is by Kyle Murdoch and Jordan Cantor. We had help today from the Associated Press. Our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
If you guys like Pod Save America, please consider subscribing to our Friends of the Pod program. So Friends of the Pod get lots of stuff. You get more Pod Save America. That includes our new show, which is called Pod Save America Only Friends.
It's where Dan gets naked.
Where Dan gets full frontal nudity, but mostly it's a bi-weekly subscription-exclusive podcast that is basically Pod Save America, but behind a paywall. So it's a little bit looser and more fun. And it's Lovett and Favreau and me and Pfeiffer and then other Crooked hosts. We go deeper on the news and cover more stories. You also get Open Tabs, which is a weekly behind-the-scenes newsletter from the show. Plus, you get ad-free episodes of your favorite Crooked podcast and all kinds of other stuff. Dan will come to your house and clean it once every quarter.
Yeah, clothes.
Dan is very busy, clothes only. But along with just getting great content, becoming a friend of the pod, joining our subscription community is the number one thing you can do to help us grow, to help independent progressive media. So if you've ever thought about doing it, if you ever wanted more Pod Save America, consider going to crooked.com/friends and becoming a friend of the pod.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bettering your business takes working with the best. With the James Hardie Alliance, you gain access to leads, training, networking, and support from the number one brand of siding in North America. Achieve new levels of success by joining the James Hardie Alliance today.